Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the ISO Review Podcast, a production of Simplify ISO. The ISO Review Podcast shares the latest international standards development and is your resource for getting the most out of your management systems. Hello, I'm Howard Fox, business coach and host of the Success Insight Podcast, and I am joined by Jim Moran, ISO Management System Professional, now celebrating his 31st year delivering ISO support. Jim, so good to see you again and have you back on another episode of the ISO Review Podcast.
Well, Howard, thanks to your help, we've been able to give our listeners some really good information on all the ISO standards related to ISO 27001, the information security. So thanks for all your hard work at your end. And we're ready to dive in tonight into Clause 7.3. If anybody's following along with us, they might remember that we talked about Clause 7.1 in this section of the series, Information Security in a Supplier Relationship Instance. We talked about the planning process in Clause 7.1 and then selecting suppliers in Clause 7.3. And then tonight, we're going to be looking at the actually creating an agreement with a supplier. Good. And hopefully people will get some ideas tonight, Howard, on what to write into their supplier relationship agreements, just to make sure that they're keeping a real close eye on information security. Everybody uses information every single day. And as we know, there are tons of people out there that like to get their hands on our information and do maybe not so great things with it. So hopefully this is going to help somebody save them a little bit of grief in their relationship with their suppliers. So thanks. So we're talking about managing information security in the supply chain. And of course, one of the things we always have to do is make sure we agree with our suppliers on what is going to be involved with information security, like who's going to do what they need, what you need, and even a transition process. If the product or service that they originally started with gets changed or they maybe outsource it to somebody. Change management, of course. And in life, Howard, things are usually pretty stress-free when it's humming along as it should. You're driving your car along the highway at 55 miles an hour. Or 70 kilometers, give or take. Actually, it'd be more like 80. And everything's fine. But as soon as a change happens, the apple cart can get upset pretty easily. So one of the main things we need to think about in developing a supplier agreement is what are we going to do if things change? And we've talked about that in the other scenarios as well. So there's a tender document that you have to put out as the purchaser, and then the supplier is going to make a response to it. So the things to look for in the response are things like how is the supplier going to conform to the tender document with respect to information security requirements. So that's why it's really important as the purchaser that you know how to describe the security requirements that you actually have. And of course, who's going to do what? It's always a bad news when somebody says, oh, I thought you were looking after that. So you need to make sure things are clear, the roles and responsibilities, obviously. And many of our listeners today, Howard, are going to have a template already in place for their typical supplier purchasing agreements. But this is a little bit different because you can't measure with calipers or weigh scales or even a color spectrometer. You can't measure the level of information security. So it does take a little different look, or you need to look at it through slightly different lenses. And you have to know what they're doing with their subcontractors. We've mentioned this quite a few times in this particular series. Transitioning is important to include in the contract, and not just talking about what to do if a transition needs to take place, but actually having a transition plan defined. And this plan, of course, is to be agreed on by both sides. and make sure that it's in the supplier and buyer relationship, so that there are no gray areas or no assumptions being made. That's always dangerous. Every listener here knows that story about assume when you break it apart makes an ass out of you and me. And that's an important thing. And of course, today, all over the world, with litigation being as popular as it is in most countries, you need to have things pretty well described. And you want to say how you, as the purchaser, is going to monitor and enforce how the supplier is complying. All the ISO standards that I use and my clients use, Howard, have an ISO 9001, for example, clause 8.4, the purchasing clause, you need to actually set criteria for choosing suppliers. So this is no different. I monitor and enforce the supplier's compliance. And also ISO 9001, our listeners will know, in clause 9.3, 9.1.3, the measurement clause, measuring supplier's performance. It's always been a very important part of ensuring quality. If you're not getting the right stuff in the door, or if you're not having the right services supplied to you for information security, or anything else for that matter, you need to know that it's happening. You need to be able to help, or you need to be able to clarify what boundaries the supplier has and where you want the boundaries to be as to how much you can check. You might even have in your agreement that you're allowed to do penetration testing of the supplier's information security system. But definitely you want things like it's a two-factor authentication at the very minimum, those kind of things. And you'll probably want to know the structure of the supplier's information system, so that you can make sure that it meets your requirements. And again, check from time to time, especially having the contract that the supplier will let you know if they change any of their service providers at any level. And some of them have two or three levels, it's for sure. And the other course you have, I think everybody has this in all their purchasing agreements. What are the conditions when they can terminate the purchasing agreement, and perhaps even add penalties into the mix? Obligations and service continuity requirements are really important to have. What's the uptime? How are you going to measure the uptime? How are you going to measure the security? And then, of course, as with all contracts, a termination plan. It's critical so that both people understand that how you're going to define then security crime requirements when the termination happens. The last thing you want to do is deal with a supplier, have to let them go and replace them with another service supplier, and have them leave behind a little mouse's hole, a little trap door that they can get inside back in after the termination is over. And especially if the supplier has lots of employees who access, maybe they have a lot of salespeople out there who are selling things on your behalf. You want to make sure that when the termination happens, that everybody is locked out. That's for sure. And another thing to think about, to write into the contract, are defining or identifying or describing the transmission mechanisms you're going to use to apply the information assets that have been identified to be returned to you as the purchaser, or even forwarded on to another supplier if that happens to be the case. And it could be even physical assets. There's information assets on one hand, Howard, and then there's the physical assets on the other. And if any of these physical items need to be destroyed, you want to make sure that that is all controlled and have certain certification requirements for companies who are destroying either physical equipment or information, or even in some cases, intellectual property. So there's lots to be considered. And of course, the commitment to not disclose sensitive information for a period of time after the termination is definitely something you want to write into the program. And of course, put some kind of timeline in there, 1 month, 3 months, 1 day, 3 hours, whatever you think it should be, so that it's very clear to the supplier that once the termination happens, you have to clean this up quickly, because a lot of things can go wrong in a pretty short time if things are not handled legally, or at least right in the contract, so that there's no dispute. So at the end of all this, at the end of all this planning, you're going to end up with a document, and it should be signed, obviously, by both people in order to be considered, I guess, complete. And in order for you to be able to, if you need to, litigate against the supplier, definitely without signatures, you'll have no way of knowing. And even making it clear at the beginning if you'll accept electronic signatures or not, and how they need to be protected. You need to store the agreement in a way that it's traceable. And that's a requirement of ISO as well, 7.5 in ISO, all the ISO standards, document control of documented information. You want to make sure you can find it, that it's not going to get compromised, it's going to be available, confidential, all that kind of stuff. And you'll have some additional agreements with them, or a subset of the supplier buyer arrangement, something that clarifies confidentiality requirements. That, so you'll see it right there, signed agreement, all the confidentiality in there. And even you might include inside this document an actual process or a procedure to cover off or describe or control or manage any changes, any information security changes, either on your side or their side. And of course, along with that, as you'd expect, what are we going to do if something happens? What happens if we have a breach? Who's going to take care of it? Who's going to report it? Who's going to track it? And then obviously, if you had enough breaches with a particular supplier, then that you would enact the termination plan. As Trump used to say, you're fired. So, and of course, when that happens, you have to have some kind of transition plan in place. So you'll want that right inside the contract as well. And as we just finished mentioning a few minutes ago, Howard, you'll want to explain in this contract how you're going to monitor the supplier's performance. And then, of course, you'll want to see the supplier sign against an acceptance of the monitoring and so on. And then obviously we talked about the incident management. And of course, if you're purchasing from an ISO 27001 certified information security system, information security management system company, then they will have a corrective action method built in. It's a requirement of the standard, and anybody worth their salt will have one. So there's a few ideas, Howard, for our listeners to think about, to include in their next contract with someone supplying services related to information or information security. This would work for practically any purchase that you want to make, not just purchase of information security services, everything from apricots to zebras, anything you're buying from anybody. Make sure you have all these components covered in the contract that you have with them. And just to remind everybody, this is ISO 27036 Part 2, and we're in Section 7.2. Next time, we're going to be talking about 7.4, the supplier relationship management process.
Right, right.
And there you have it.
Very good. That was all very straightforward. I just have one point of possible clarification. At the onset, you used the term tender document.
Yes.
And that is not a term I'm used to in the U.S. Could that also be called a request for proposal?
Absolutely. RFP, request for proposal, RFQ.
Right. Request for qualifications. For
thanks so much for asking that. It just completely slipped my mind.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure, because many of our listeners, well, they're all over the world, but A good portion of them are spread between Canada, where you are located, and here in the U.S. And I am used to the RFPs because having helped to respond to many of them. But again, all of this sounds very straightforward, and it definitely follows a very logical process. And as we have chatted in the past, my company that I work for is going through some of this right now as we end a project with our client. And I imagine some of this is definitely aspects of this relationship process are in full swing right now.
Absolutely. And when you think of the information you deal with personally as a coach and a career support person, there's tons of personally identifiable information that you deal with constantly. And those are the kind of things that sometimes we forget about in our day-to-day lives, that there's a lot of sensitive information in every company, even small companies. Sure. There's banking information. Sometimes if you have a subscription with your supplier, as it happens, they might have some credit card information as well, banking information for EFTs. So it's one area, Howard, that people really, really, really need to spend the time to get it right. If not, there can be some pretty dire consequences that can take a long time to clear up afterwards. Just a little bit extra work at the front end can save a whole bunch of headaches at the back end if you do, in fact, have to terminate with somebody.
But that is advice that should not be taken lightly. And I share that with many of my clients. If you do the homework and upfront effort, planning and strategy, it'll make the whole execution go all that much smoother, and you won't have some unknowns kind of creeping into your work. So I appreciate that.
Yeah, at least it can keep the unknowns down to a dull roar. That's for sure.
I'm all for that. I'm all for that. No surprises. Jim, before we head out today, just a reminder for our listeners, where are the best places to learn more about you and your work?
Well, the best ISO connection, Howard, is the simplifyiso.com site. There's a tab in there called Contact, and the IMSI, the International Management System Institute. We've got the domain is imsipro.org. Both of those sites have these podcasts on them, that's for sure. And we have lots of helpful videos, and if both those sites have a contact us button. So I'd love our listeners to get in touch and share some of their ideas with us.
Fantastic. And we will, of course, provide those backlinks in the show notes for our listeners, as well as links to your LinkedIn profile, many of the articles you posted on LinkedIn, as well as to your YouTube channel. A little tongue tie there. And also, I know we have a ISO 27001 gap checklist, which is a freebie for our listeners, and we'll provide a backlink to it as well. Sound good?
Marvelous. And it's a great little checklist. It's free to use. It's dynamic. You fill it in and it gives you a report at the end. Gives you a good sense of what's required for ISO 27001 in case there are some listeners that are thinking about it and haven't had a chance to see it. I'll just encourage everybody to go to their favorite standards purchasing place and get copies of a few of these standards we've been talking about in these podcasts. They're really helpful.
Good. Very good. All right, Jim. So we will see in a couple of weeks for the next episode where we, as you had shared, continuing on ISO 27036-2, supplier relationship requirements. And next time we will be discussing clause 7.4, supplier relationship management process. So, Jim, thank you so much.
Thank you, Howard. And enjoy yourself over the next couple of weeks, and we'll be talking to you as soon as we can.
You got it. All right, folks, we have just been listening to another episode of the ISO Review Podcast. In today's episode, Jim discussed in rather eloquent detail, as usual, plus 7.3 supplier relationship agreement. And just a reminder, you can find Jim and more information about him on his website. And this is at the SimplifyISO.com website. And we also provide, again, the backlinks to it, as well as to the International Management System Institute's website at imsipro.org. As for me, you can learn more about my coaching work and podcasting services at foxcoaching.com, and we'll provide a backlink to it as well as to my LinkedIn profile. And finally, as a reminder, the ISO Review podcast is a production of Simplify ISO. So wherever you are, whatever you're doing, go out there, have a phenomenal day, and we will see you on a future episode of the ISO Review Podcast. Take care now.